This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. An article this week in the Free Press reported 2016 is, quote, shaping up as a raucous and competitive election season with incumbent politicians facing strong challenges up and down the ballot and a presidential race that can influence the control of every race, end quote. Here to talk about that are a couple of respected state capitol reporters, Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta and Zach Gorchow of Gongwer. Let's limit this discussion to the state House of Representatives contests. Are the district races shaping up to be raucous and competitive?
They are. There are a slew of competitive races, and let's look ahead to the November general election, because really what everyone is watching right now is, can the Democrats win control of the Michigan House of Representatives away from the Republicans? The Republicans have basically a 63-47 majority right now. If the Democrats could win, it would end a six-year run of total Republican control of state government. It would change the dynamic massively in Lansing. And there's anywhere from probably 10 to 15 races that are going to see serious, serious competition.
We're seeing a couple of rematches. You pointed out in your publication a lot of people with familiar names because they're family members, children, or spouses of incumbents. You know, they're really just trying all the tricks in the playbook to flip things. But changing nine seats.
That's a tall order.
That is a tall order. It's been done. It would require a lot of things to fall into place, including very likely a Democratic wave election.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because there's a lot of interest in this presidential race and the presidential races. Mm-hmm. How much does voter turnout change the playing field for races farther down the ballot?
Well, it's huge.
It's the single biggest factor.
Yes. There's a reason why Democrats in the term limits era have averaged a gain of about 4.5 seats in the Michigan House in presidential cycles versus midterm cycles where the Republicans average about that much of a gain. It's because more people are voting in the presidential year and they tend to be more Democratic in nature.
The reality is in Michigan, there are more Democrats than Republicans. It's just in the off-year elections, a lot of those Democrats don't get out.
Now, let's talk about the effects of redistricting, or some people call gerrymandering. That's reduced as people move in and out of the districts the farther away we get from the design of the maps. What effect has that had now that we're 6 years out?
Well, I think you can certainly say it's a factor for sure. Probably anywhere from 5 to 10 districts you could look at that have been massaged, Michigan House districts. You trade off a little bit of Democratic territory here for a little bit of Republican territory there, and it makes the Republicans' task easier and the Democrats' task more difficult. But, you know, if you look at the House races that are going to be where the balance of power is decided this year, I would not look to redistricting as the first, second, or maybe even third factor in how these races are going to turn out. The number one factor is, you tell me what the margin in the presidential race is going to be in these districts, and you'll have a really good sense of who's going to win. And then the next thing is the candidate quality.
Right.
You know, if you've got a dog candidate versus a good candidate, forget about redistricting. That's going to be more important than a point or two here or there if one side or the other didn't put up somebody who's a credible candidate.
There's an axiom in politics that 70% of what you do in a campaign is irrelevant. You just don't know which 70% until after the campaign is over. But especially in these state house races, you can't knock on enough doors. You can't meet enough voters. You can't make too many phone calls. And that's hard work.
There's a seat in Battle Creek, and there's a seat in Downriver, Detroit, that on balance are Democratic seats. The majority of base voters there are Democrats. And you would think, okay, so that's redistricting, right? The way they're drawn, the Democrats should hold those seats, right? Well, no, they don't. The Republicans hold those seats because the Democrats have absolutely bombed those races in the last couple cycles, either because they nominated terrible candidates, or in the case of the Downriver seat, they made it sort of an inconceivable decision in 2012 to pull out of the race, pull resources out of it way too early, even as President Obama would end up winning that district by, I think, 54-55%.
So I was going to ask you guys, which party does the better job? I think you've kind of answered it, but which party does the better job of getting people on the bench? How deep are their benches? Apparently, the Democrats, at least in these two districts, really bungled it, but is that the case generally across the state?
Well, certainly one of the markers of that is whether you get a candidate to file in every race, and Republicans succeeded in doing that, and in the Democrats' case, there are a couple of seats where they did not get someone to file, and, you know, that's largely a function of, you know, petition signatures or something like that, although for state house races, you can just pay a filing fee. It's worth pointing out that a good caucus political operation has someone, an elected official, who's basically the wrangler, the person who's keeping an eye on how hard the candidates are working. And if they're not doing the job, if they're not out there door knocking, if they're not making fundraising phone calls, it's their job to go and kick them in the butt, push them to get more ambitious.
I think the Democrats this year have recruited some of these top shelf candidates that you need. Quick example, Upper Peninsula, they've got a county sheriff running in a key seat. Right now, you'd say the Democrats are going to be favored to win that seat. It's now a Republican seat. That's what you need to do.
How about the one where they got the wife of an incumbent Republican sheriff to run?
In the Alpena area.
As a Democrat.
Again, another
that was a coup.
Another coup of a recruit. Yep, they've done a better job so far, it appears.
Where else are there really competitive races that are going to be interesting and either candidate has a shot?
Suburban Muskegon. Okay, it's crazy what goes on there. They have flipped that seat back and forth between the parties, I believe, four of the last five elections. There's no other seat in the state like it. It's going to be 50 to 100 votes either way. You would say the Democrats probably have an advantage because it's the presidential year. This is the third race in a row. Polly Hughes, the Republican, and Colleen Lamonti, the Democrat, have gone up against each other. It's just an amazing dynamic there.
Suburban Lansing district out of Grand Ledge has a similar dynamic in play where you've got the former incumbent facing the incumbent. And I'm always interested in those Oakland County competitive seats because just that county has been changing so much, and Republicans have put so much effort into all these different ways to try to cling to their political advantage.
We're seeing a lot more money being spent every election cycle. There's been a big shift in where some of the big political action committee are putting their money from presidential and Senate and congressional races down to the state level in many states. Are we seeing evidence of that in Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, the Michigan Republican Party has been an enormous influence in these legislative seats this decade. They have poured all sorts of resources in, really outgunned the Democrats on mail and television this decade. You know, the Democrats have done a pretty good job of raising money. It's not that they've done terrible on the House. In fact, they've done a very good job raising money. But, you know, the Republicans just have some donors out there. You think of the DeVos family that can just cut the check and there it is. And there's not a lot the Democrats can do about that.
Rick, I'm wondering how much this election year is affecting what you're seeing happening in the legislature.
Boy, you know, it's so hard to measure specifically the effect of that just because we've got so many bombshells related to the Flint water crisis and the Detroit public schools. Sort of filtering all of that out to figure out what election season means is difficult. But hey, the closer the election gets, the tougher it is to do the difficult things. And we've got some very difficult things out there. And I think the Detroit Public Schools is probably the biggest one, because if you're an outstate incumbent and you vote for money for Detroit Public Schools, you've got to go back and explain that to your voters.
If the Democrats could win a majority in the House, what would that mean?
So the unstoppable force that the Republicans have been in Lansing would end. The kinds of legislation the Democrats have loathed, cracking down on unions, making it harder for some Democrats to vote, would be stopped in its tracks. And the Democrats would gain control of key committees that could launch all manner of investigations, subpoenas, into the Snyder administration. I mean, that last 2 years of the Snyder administration, it would be a real nightmare for them.
I think absolutely what Zach said, you know, especially as far as the committee work and, you know, Republican constituencies, if they wanted to get anything done, that, it would have to be governing by ballot drive.
That's Rick Pluta, State Capitol Bureau Chief for Michigan Radio, and Zach Gorchow is editor at the Gongwer News Service. Thanks, guys.
I'm glad to do it.
Thank you.